Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Remember, the quiet ones always have the darkest secrets. It's time to uncover them on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Menendez brothers back in the spotlight, and well, they may actually be able to walk out by Christmas and be in a spotlight somewhere on a stage telling their story, making a lot of money. After all this is said and done, the one new documentary out, of course, the dramatization out on Netflix, and then the Menendez brothers speaking in their own words on Netflix right now, talking about what they went through and the travesty of a life that it was living under Jose Menendez. Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. They are going to get a court date in November where we're going to see something interesting happen. Maybe not much. Maybe just, hey, we're going to review this more. Maybe we're going to change the sentence. Maybe we're going to let you go. Maybe we're going to get a new trial with all of the new evidence that has come to light. Let's talk about that. What new evidence would you say, in your opinion, Eric, has come to light that has led us to this place?
My understanding is that there have been reports. I don't know how verified these are, but I've heard reports that Jose Menendez, the father, not only perpetrated against his children, Lyle and Eric Menendez, but also may have perpetrated against members of Menudo, or at least one member of Menudo, the musical group that apparently the Menendez father had some involvement with professionally. And so I think that there are added corroborative allegations that sort of support what Lyle and Eric were saying all along. You know, for a while it was just them saying it. Now there are potentially other witnesses, potentially other reports that buttress what they're trying to put forward on this case.
There's going to be a lot that could be brought forward. Do you think we're going to see another trial, or is this something where the court may look at it and go, you've done your time. We see this new evidence. It's not worth our funds. It's not worth our time to rehash all of this. Where do you think this is going to go in November?
You know, it was interesting. The Los Angeles District Attorney gave a press statement on this and on the upcoming hearing. And he sort of telegraphed that, like, hey, we're open to some resolution that isn't them being in prison forever. And I think the resolution that makes the most sense is that they've been in prison for like 30 years or so. Let's kind of call it good. It looks like there's some credibility to these allegations of child molestation. And, you know, maybe at this juncture, everyone is kind of just ready to move on.
I would think so. I mean, it's very interesting how we looked at things like this back at that point in time, especially when it came to boys. I mean, it was always, well, boys can't be molested or boys can't have this. I mean, it's just an insane thing to think or say. But that's very much the world we lived in at that point in time, where a lot of these things were kind of swept under the rug, and men in powerful positions that had a penchant for abusing and doing these horrible things were just kind of like, well, they're rich and powerful, or they're a priest, one of the two. And it was something that just didn't get questioned, or they were like, Maybe no. We don't know what goes behind closed doors. But we're in a very, very different world now, which I think is what led to, I think, the understanding more of what these boys went through back at that time. Why do you think we're here? Why do you think understanding has changed so dramatically? We're not talking about ancient times here. We're talking about the 1990s. But society has definitely made a shift in their understanding of this.
Yeah, without question. You know, I think psychology has advanced, social sciences have advanced. That could be a part of it. And then also, I heard an interview from one of the jurors from the first trial who said that the jury was split down gender line, that the men kind of said, hey, I can't believe a father would do this to their male child, whereas the women who may have been more familiar with this kind of abuse said, hey, anybody's capable of this and anybody's capable of being a victim of this. And so I think just sort of having a less rigid view on the possibility of this and how it plays out, and learning more within social science and studies have led us to this point.
I mean, obviously, it was a murder. It was a very brutal murder. But today, if this happened, do you think there's any chance the Menendez brothers would have gotten a life sentence the way that they did back then if this were to happen today?
I think it is much more likely that, because what happened in the second Menendez trial is they really didn't get to talk much about the father's molestation. Now, I think that the judge would be much more inclined to let that in and sort of just let the jury deal with it. Back in the day, it just seemed so salacious and scandalous and to them, uncredible. But now I don't think that's how it would be viewed at all. I think the Menendez would have a much better shot if they had some kind of new trial today.
If they get out, I mean, from what I understand, I mean, there's no money. I mean, that's said and done, but I'm sure they can certainly make some money. If you were just to, as an attorney, give advice to these brothers who are about to get out, I was going to say these boys, but they're in their 50s. You know, if you were to say, okay, you're out, and they're like, what should I do now? What would you say to them to try and get their life on a good path and not fall victim to, I'm sure, all the opportunists who are going to be chomping at the bit to work with them and get some sort of payday off of their story?
You know, they've got to be guarded in that sense. Like you said, they're absolutely going to be carpetbaggers coming in trying to profit off of their suffering. But on the flip side, I think they've been through so much and it's caused, you know, them such a horrible life that there's, I don't see anything wrong with them, you know, seeking to better their position by voicing what's happened to them and voicing the injustices that they believe they've suffered. And so it's kind of a delicate balance. They don't want to be taken advantage of, but I'm all about, you know, kind of shouting from the rooftops what happened. Mm-hmm. And if that improves their life, so be it.
I think them telling their story more in the open and talking about men being victim and boys being victim of these sort of things would be incredibly powerful. There's not enough people who do it, but there's so many people who suffer, who've been through that sort of thing. Just to show that people are not alone, I think that would be incredibly powerful. And they know it more than anybody, considering the hell that they went through. And even the one admitting flat out in court all those years ago that, look, I was groomed this way, then I tried to do it to my brother because I didn't know any better. Just getting it out there of like, look, we were brought up in fucked up situations. We didn't know any better. This was survival. But there are ways of getting through life and getting past this without murdering your parents.
You couldn't be more right in terms of voicing the suffering, especially on behalf of boys and men, because for so long, and even to this day, it's just seen as some folks as like taboo, like, oh, you got to be a strong man. Are you telling me you're raped? That's crazy. What a, you know, sissy or whatever, which is totally wrong. And so for them, you know, people already know what's happened to them. And so they wouldn't be losing anything by further disclosing. And in fact, I think it would add a lot of support to folks who may have been through this, but were scared to talk about it.
I agree. I hope the second act in the Menendez story is a positive one that can help with their own healing and also the healing of many, many others. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.